single one of us. Every individual that makes up the church, Jesus knows our condition and he can speak through his word. If we'll just hear what the Spirit says to the church, he can speak to us in any condition that we are in. But we first have to believe he knows my condition. And instead of trying to hide, instead of trying to, put a mask on, he knows. He knows. Be open with him. Open up your heart. Open up your mouth and just tell him what's going on in your life. You know, as I was reading this today, studying and getting all prepared, you know, God revealed to me that there were some things that I've been acting like they haven't been happening in my life. And it really broke me down. And you know, some difficulty with my family and some things that are happening and even some disappointments about, you know, people that have died just recently. And it really, really, you know, I know God knows what's going on in my life. I know God knows what's going on in my family. But have I really turned to him? Have I really opened up my heart to him and cried out to him and said, God, you hear my voice. You hear my cry. You see the situations in my life. Can you just take control and then give it over to God? Give it over to the Spirit of the Lord and let God work it out. Man, we can't work these things out on our own. There's nothing we can do in most of these situations. But he knows. He knows how to handle them. He knows exactly what the next step is to take. And he can and will take care of those things if we'll put our faith and trust in him. Hallelujah. I think right now, if we could just lift up our hands. And if you could just be open with him. I know we don't want to, you know, be yelling out and confessing all of these things. But if there's a problem that's been occurring lately in your life, or if there's sin even in your life, if you would just turn it over to the Lord, if you would just take a moment and just tell God about it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you know my family situation, God. You know what's going on in my life, Lord Jesus. You know the difficulty and the trials, oh God. You know the disappointments, Lord Jesus. And you know the victories even, God. Lord, but you know I'm consecrated to you, Lord. You know I'm dedicated to you, God. Lord Jesus, have your way in my life, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Let's thank the Lord right now, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Man, there's that's one area. We have so much going on in our life, but it's one area where we doubt that he sees us. We sometimes doubt that he sees us. And we know that we've heard and we know that Jesus is watching and that he's got his eye on us. But it is one area where doubt creeps in. Like, God, do you really see me? God, do you really know what's going on in my life? And so I hope that that helps you to see that he knows what's going on in your life. And he knows what he has spoken to you. He knows the promises that he gives you. And so that's another area where doubt can creep in. And that is when it comes to the promises of God. When it comes to the promises of God, we sometimes doubt that we heard him right. We doubt that that word spoke to us in the way that it spoke to us. And we put the doubt on God, and we put the doubt on the word of God, and we doubt the promises of God. But that's one thing that I wanted to tell you tonight, is he knows how to keep his promises. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. He knows how to bring his promises to pass. Hebrews 6, 18 says that by two immutable things, so that word immutable, the root word is mutate, right? You've heard of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All the kids said, yeah, I've heard of that. But that mutate, that word mutate or mutation from something to changing from one thing to another thing, right? So the word immutable is the opposite of mutable, okay? It means that these things cannot change. So these two immutable things, there's two immutable things, it says, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. So when God gives us a promise, there is a hope that is set before us. We hope in His word. We trust in what God has told us. And so there's actually a lot of confusion when it comes to this verse of Scripture. Because when you read it, you think that Paul is going to tell us, after he says two immutable things, it's like, come on, Paul, tell us what the two immutable things are. And so you continue and you say, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Okay, that word impossible means something to do with immutable things, right? So that's, we know that that can't change. But really, the place that is spoken of, the two immutable things, is in verse, it's actually way up in verse number 12. But I'm going to start reading, because what Paul would often do, and you have to watch this, but what Paul would often do is he would cover a principle. He'd say, here's the principle. And then he would go off into an example, and sometimes he'd be kind of lengthy in those examples. And then he would bring everything to a conclusion, and he'd use some of the strongest possible language to conclude back to the truth of the principle that he gave. So when we read this, we need to learn to look at the whole scriptures in context, so that we can get an understanding of not just that one verse. And the thing about this is that you can take each passage that Paul writes and really, you know, break it down and you know, really go down a lot of rabbit trails. And so whenever Paul would start a letter or talk in his letters and start a topic, then he would put in an anecdote or a relevant example, and then he would wrap up the thought with a very powerful statement. And so if we take the whole passage, and I think this is very important enough for us to break this down, because I really believe God wants to show us something. Here in Hebrews 6, verse 10, if you go to verse 10, Brother Andre. So here's the principle. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, He knows, which ye have showed towards His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And be not slothful, but be followers of them. And get the principle right here. The followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So the two immutable things are faith and patience. So there, you can kind of write this like an equation. And that's, I'm a kind of a math guy. My son was doing math the other day. He filled up the whole chalkboard with math. I think he got that from me. But what I do is I break these things down like this. So I would say faith plus patience equals inherited promises. Faith plus patience equals inherited promises. And so this equation is true every time God indeed promises you something. If there is a promise from God, It can only be obtained by those two immutable things. That is faith and patience. If you don't believe God, you don't believe His word, you have no right to inherit the promise. And if you're not willing to wait, say, I believe God, but I want it right now. If you're not willing to wait and let God do it on His time, then you have no right to inherit the promise. But if you have faith and you have patience, then you are entitled to inherit the promise. Okay? Those are the two immutable things. And it's real important. So go back to verse 18 and you see why those two things are immutable. Back in verse 18, we're back. Because it's impossible for God to lie. So that when He gives you a promise, if you will believe, if you will have faith, and if you will wait for it, you will be a partaker of the promise. You will lay hold upon the hope that is set before you. Amen. So here's the example that Paul uses. And this is so powerful. Hebrews 6:13. Here's the example he uses. He says, for when God made promises, or when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You have the two elements. Abraham believed, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He had faith. And then he patiently endured, and then he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which that it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth, which entereth into that within the veil. All right, so say that equation with me. Faith plus patience equals inherited promises. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preached word of God. When you hear preaching, you get faith. When you hear the word of the Lord preached, that's where you obtain the faith. So those promises that God has given you through the word of the Lord, that's the faith part of it. Amen. And it doesn't come from us. We're not the source of the faith. He's the source of the faith. He's the one that gives us the faith. It's not dependent on you. It's dependent on His word. Amen. Do we sometimes doubt His counsel? Do we sometimes think, well, I don't know, God. I don't know if that's the right promise for me. Amen. My ways are not higher than God's ways. I think that when God speaks to my heart and gives me a promise, that it's great and good for me. Amen. No matter what it is. And so I can trust in that. I can hope in that. I can have faith in that. Amen. And then all I got to do is wait. All I've got to do is wait. Amen. Perfection there is just keep patience. Amen. Let patience have her perfect work in your life. Amen. So it's impossible to have patience with God without trust. And it's trust over time, right? You got to keep trusting God. Say, oh, it didn't happen today, but I know God's going to bring it to pass. Well, it didn't happen the next day, but I know God's going to bring it to pass. And you just got to keep thanking Him. You just got to keep thanking Him. Because He knows how to bring His promises to pass. Amen. You will inevitably keep coming around, keep listening to the Word of God, keep hearing the preaching, and you will inevitably hear a promise from God. And you might say, how in the world is that even possible? Don't worry how. Don't worry how. That's God's job. That's on God's responsibility list. Don't worry about how. Just have faith and be patient, and you will inherit the promise. Amen. God is not wasting your time when he speaks a promise to you. He doesn't waste his words. Amen. That inspiration that comes from God, that word means breath. He's not wasting his breath on you when he breathes a promise into your life. He's not wasting his time with you when he speaks a promise into your life. Just know that God, if he promised it, he will bring it to pass. He will do it. Amen. And I just believe that's worthy of some praise tonight. That's worthy of some magnification. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm coming to a close. I'm pretty close. Amen. But, you know, the truth is that God knows because he is omniscient. Omniscient means he knows everything. And I wanted to show you some verses here. Well, before we go there, I wanted to talk to you about this verse of scripture that Jesus speaks and says, have faith in God. So Jesus, this is Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And so what happens is this is right after Jesus went in and overthrew all the tables in the temple. And so on the way to the temple, Jesus sees a fig tree far off in the distance, and it has leaves on it. And he expects to get some fruit out of that thing. And so in his flesh, he must have been hungry. And so he gets up close to that fig tree, and there's no fruit on that fig tree. And you know what he says? And we might think this is pretty cruel, but it really demonstrates the power of God manifest in the flesh. But he says, from this moment forever, no man shall ever eat fruit from you again. It's like, wow, that is harsh. And even the disciples were like, it's not even harvest time yet, Jesus. He says, no, I expected that tree to feed me, and it's not going to feed anybody ever again. And so then he's hangry, right? Everybody knows what that is. And he goes into the temple, and they're buying and selling, and they're doing all this stuff, and he's just standing there braiding his cord, the whip. And he starts turning over the tables. I'm just thinking practically, because I've been hungry before and also in a high-pressure situation, right? And he knows about that. But he overturns all those tables. And it said the very next morning, they go out on their way out of town, and that fig tree is completely dried down to the root ball. Like no water, not a drop of water in it. The day before it had leaves. The day before it was just, it was flourishing. It was doing its thing. But the day after, completely dried up. And that's miraculous. And actually here in Mark 11, 20, says in the morning, they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus could have turned to him right there and said, I know. But Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. If you would have just remembered, Peter, the day before, where I said that no one would ever eat fruit from this fig tree ever again, you would have believed that this was going to happen, and it wouldn't have surprised you. That's the kind of God we serve, is that when he speaks something, it is steadfast, it is firm, it is solid, amen. It's something you can build your life upon. It's something that will withstand the storms. It's something that will withstand time, amen. Even after we die, the promises of God still live on, amen. God might give you a promise, but it's to the next generation. It's to the next person. It's to the next part of your family. Amen. And he's still going to keep his promises. His promises are yea and amen. That's a proper response to the promises of God. I doubt God can do that today. I doubt he can do that. No, it's yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. Let it come to pass. It's true. Amen. It's the word of God. Amen. And I believe it. I'm going to have faith in it. Amen. And it's going to hold me. Praise the Lord, through everything in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for his promises. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So Psalm 147, verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Amen. Psalm 139, verse 4 says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows. He's omnipotent. Amen. He's omniscient. I mean, he knows all of it. Amen. There's just a power and an authority in his word that we can rest on it. We can lean on the word of God. We can get close to the word of God. Amen. So God knows how to keep his promises. And there's another area that we have a lot, we struggle a lot with and doubt a lot. And that is backsliders. Backsliders. We're like, God, how are you going to bring that person back? Anybody? Well, we all know somebody. I shouldn't even ask for a show of hands. We all know somebody that was at one time fresh, hot, amen, on fire for God, wanted to get into the Word of God, wanted to get deeper into the presence of God, amen. And now, where are they? And we go, and I'm so thankful Sister Brown asks for prayer every Monday. She asks prayer for the backsliders. And I'm so thankful that somebody actually says that and brings that up, because God knows how to reach backsliders. And I think part of the reason that we have such a difficulty believing that God can reach those who he reached before and have now rejected him is that the word of the Lord says in Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. That's a very serious passage of scripture. But let's not get this wrong, because that's telling me that it's impossible for me to do it. But my response to that verse is this very same reaction that the disciples had when Jesus spoke of how difficult it is for a rich man to be saved. In Matthew 19:25, when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, and not in a good way, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Mom, your backslidden child, amen. You may not be able to do anything but pray, but God knows how to bring your backslidden child home. Amen. Wife, you may not know how to reach your husband, amen, but God knows how to reach your husband. Amen. Even myself, I say it openly, my parents don't serve God the way that they used to. They don't go to church the way that they used to. And man, I struggle with that for years and years and years. And I've prayed so many prayers for them. And said, what are you going to do? And, you know, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she was talking about some close friends in her church that she saw that they were backsliding, that they were not coming to church anymore, and it bothered her so much, and she just wanted to go and hug their neck and cry and say, don't do what you're doing, just come back to the church and just be here with us, and don't backslide. We love you. We appreciate you. We love your family. Just don't leave. Don't walk away from God. And I think that response comes from every person in the church that sees the soul slip away from these people. Like, what are you doing? You tasted the good word of God. You felt the presence of the Lord. You have the Holy Ghost. Where are you going? Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. But, you know, there's nothing that we can do about that but pray and put it in God's hands. He knows how to reach the backslider. Amen. He did it over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Backslidden Israel. He called them back to repentance. And they would come back. And then the next generation would backslide. And he'd call them back to his side. And they would come back, and then the next generation. And what that tells me is that every single generation has to make up their mind that I'm going to serve God in my generation, in my situation, in my period of time. Amen. I've got to get close to God, and God has to deal with their heart, or they cannot be saved. But He knows how to save them, and with Him, all things are possible. Amen. He knows how to reach the backslider. Hallelujah. And I think this is the most challenging one. But God knows how to reach us. We sometimes doubt, so many times we doubt that God is hand on us. Or that what He, and really the theme of all of these different topics that I've been dealing with here is really my life. My heart. Am I trusting Him? Do I have faith in Him? Do I know that He knows? And He knows how to reach us exactly where we are. And that's why He knows how to reach the backslider. Because He knows where they are. He knows exactly where they are. Amen? Jeremiah was, I think, when he was probably the most unpopular prophet in the Bible. He had the hardest message. His message was, Babylon is coming, go with them into captivity. I mean, how would you like, I mean, it's like when you're the prophet and you receive that word from God, you're like, couldn't I just been like, you know, Isaiah or something, prophesy about the Messiah? Or, you know, couldn't I have been a prophet like how David prophesied in praise and worship? And Jeremiah probably said, God, they're not going to like this. And so he speaks of a promise of the return of Israel back to the promised land even before they were carried away. So picture this. They're all set up in the promised land. They're doing their thing. They're getting their harvest. They're raising their children. They're dwelling in the land that God gave them. And they are confident that God's promise was for that land for them. And here comes this prophet, and he says, Babylon is coming. Nebuchadnezzar is coming down the road with a massive army. And if you try to fight, you'll be destroyed. And if you try to run, you'll be destroyed. Go with them. Just comply with them. You think some of the people were like, you don't know what you're talking about, and that message is not from God. In fact, they threw him in prison. They threw him in prison, and then some other people sent an assassin to assassinate him, but because he was in prison, the assassin couldn't get to him. So he was pretty unpopular. And he gave them this promise, and he told them that God knows exactly where you are at all times. And God knows exactly how to bring you back into the land of promise. And he gives them the heads up there in front of them. And one of our most favorite verses from Jeremiah is Jeremiah 29:11. And this is the context in which this is said. This is before the trouble happens. This is before the captivity even takes place. This is before they get into the trouble and into the turmoil. And he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." We have the promise of eternal inheritance. We have the promise of eternity with God. We have the promise of being able to worship Him forever and be in His presence for all time. We do have trouble in this life, but He knows the thoughts that He thinks towards you, and that they're thoughts of good and of peace and not of evil. And he's already given us what the expected end is. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet and lift up our hands and thank Him for that promise. God, I want to put my trust in You, Lord Jesus. I want to give You, Lord, all my worship, Lord God. All my praise, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God, I love You. I praise You, God. Thank You for speaking into my life, God. Thank You for caring for me, Lord Jesus, enough to give me promises, Lord God. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. God, I worship You, Lord. I praise You, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I worship You, God. Oh, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, God. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, Lord Jesus. God, we worship You and praise You and thank You, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I worship You, God. I praise You, God. I thank You, Lord. Amen. God knew you before you were born. Amen. While you were still in your mother's womb and He was forming you, He knew you. Amen. While He was making you, He knew you. And He had a plan for you. Amen. He had a purpose for your life. Amen. And no matter where we are, He knows how to bring us to that purpose. He knows how to bring us to that end that He expects for us. Hallelujah. Don't you think that if He knew you in your mother's womb, that He knows you now? And don't you think that He knows what you're going through right now? Hallelujah. I want to go back quickly to the verse that we started, to that passage we started with in Job. But let's look at verse number 8 as we close here. I'm not going to go through the whole story of Job. It's kind of long. But if you don't know the story of Job, go and look at the story of Job, and then you'll have some context for what I'm saying here. But he had it rough. We all know Job's story was very tough, but it had a good end. Amen. Job 23:8. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there. Job's looking for God and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. Job is searching for God in his problem. He's searching for God in every direction. He's searching for God's mind and his wisdom. And why am I going through all of this? Why am I having such trouble? Why did I lose all of my children? Why did I lose all of my riches? Why am I stuck with this wife that doubts you and doubts me and doubts my word? Amen. And he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. That's just astonishing to me, because that means that when Job was looking for God in front of him, God knew Job was looking for him. And when he turned and went behind him, God knew what he was doing. He knew what he was, where he was looking for him. And he did a little work over here on the left to show him, to give him a hint. I'm here, Job. But Job still didn't see God. Amen. But he said, he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There was a promise given to Job in the very seeking of God's face through his promise. There was a promise given to him. Amen. He says, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. In other words, God is working on performing the very thing that he promised you. And not only that thing, but there are many more things that God is willing to give you. And he's working on all of them. Amen? He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your family. He's got a plan for the church. He's got a plan to move us forward. He's got a great plan. Amen. In his kingdom. Can we love him and worship him tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Praise God. Again, it's so good to have the Davenports here. And everybody, welcome them. They seem like nice people. Let's be nice to them. Amen. And actually, they said that they're going to be moving tomorrow. And so if they call me to get some help to move, I'm going to be calling some of you guys with trucks to help me, all right? Praise the Lord. Is that all right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Be here on Sunday. Invite somebody to church. Amen. Bring them to church if you need to. So good to be here with you tonight. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.